My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Commanders are 1-1, and for the first time in his two games as quarterback, Jaden Daniels got to walk off the field a winner. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan, the first of hopefully many in what we're all hoping is going to be an illustrious career here in D.C. Danny, what'd you think of Daniels in game two?
I was pretty impressed. Now, nothing world-beating here. We didn't see the second coming of anything. What we saw was a base being built of the safe, quick, short, easy stuff that I would major in, by the way, that I love, especially early on in games, because what you're doing, it's equivalent of a running game, which they had going as well, but it's those body punches, right? It's that, it's the little jab that keeps the defender at bay. And so eventually they get sick of it, and then stuff opens up. Then later on, after you soften the target a little bit, and they get tired of those little 5-yarders, 7-yarders, 8-yarders, 6-yarders, and, you know, it's second and manageable a lot. You're standing on the field, which they did. You get sick of those, and then you can hit your deep stuff. Then you can hit your double moves. Then you can hit your kind of strike plays, that kind of intermediate stuff that became available ultimately in the second half. I saw a guy that, as the game progressed, seemed to become more comfortable. I don't think panic's the right word, so I don't have a better one than that, so I'm going with it, but just know that I wish there was a better word. I think in this first game, when everything's going so fast, there's a fight-or-flight type moment where you go, I could stick this out, and maybe I end up getting sacked.
And that's the phrase, by the way, that Kingsbury used.
Yeah.
Was flight or fight.
Right. And so he goes, you know what? I'm so athletic. I'm so good at this. I'll be our best offensive weapon. I'll run for 80 some yards on scrambles. So there's a happy medium there where a scramble can be very good, a very effective way to keep your team on the field. On a 3rd and 8, when everyone's got their back turned, somebody comes for pressure, you make a miss, everyone's got their head turned, you go get your first down.
So you were okay with how much they ran in this game?
So, yeah, to me, that's closer.
Because we argued a lot about that all season.
That's closer to the happy medium. Like, to me, I want the occasional design run just to show it, to make keep everybody honest, but I want them to major in those athletic playmaking plays where you turn a negative into an astounding positive, which I think is his specialty.
He ran 10 times, statistically. It was actually probably more, but a couple of them were ruled sacks, where he would, like, run out of bounds or whatever. So, it was, you know, when you count last week.
One of his great escapes where he was in the grasp, ended up being a sack because he ran out of bounds 2 yards by the line of scrimmage. Instead of a 15-yard loss, it was 2.
Yeah, well, yeah. -4 on the sideline.
Whatever it was, yeah.
No, it's true. It was also, well, you would say a great play. Throw the ball out of bounds, and it's a 0. Mm-hmm. And you just go back to live the next play. So that's probably what they'll coach him up on. But I thought, so a few things. Number one, the second half to me, when I envision like what I hope this turns into is that. And to get a half like that this quickly is really a good sign, I'd say. I think that game two was better than game one. I didn't have a big problem with game one in any way, but I think there was clear growth. And I think the second half was better than the first half. So this is all the way you want it to be. The first half, a lot of the procedural stuff, I don't know whose fault all that is. Calling 2 timeouts on your game-opening drive, which, by the way, took almost 9 game minutes and took like what felt like 20 minutes of real lifetime with the timeouts and everything. It took forever, and that was great. I mean, the defense hadn't had to break a sweat yet in the heat, really, getting back on the field. But I think some of that needs to be cleaned up. That's on Daniels. That's on the whole outfit. I'm not saying all the false starts and things are on him, but when you're burning two timeouts, when there's clear like motions late and guys are jumping,
yep.
I don't know how much of that is the snap count or the way you're doing things. I just know that I don't see it very often, you know, and certainly not with veteran quarterbacks. But that's all supposed to happen. That's all part of the process. That's not really an issue. They cleaned that up. The only part of the first half that I was discouraged by really was the four sacks, when I thought maybe one of those should have happened. And the fact that they didn't really get the passing game going other than on those RPO screen type things, that all changed in the second half when he threw for a 140 and went 12 of 16. And instead of looking to run, he looked to throw. And that like epiphany or change, whatever led to it, I hope we see a lot more of it. The Giants have a bad secondary. We had their reporters on all last week saying, hey, Washington should be able to take advantage of this. And you saw it with Noah Brown. I don't know why Terry McLaurin couldn't in that same area of the field. I don't know why nobody else was getting open in the middle of the field. But Ertz certainly got free, caught two balls of 20-plus.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brown with the long on the 34-yarder catch and run. That was a really nice seat of a throw. Good signs all the way around.
Agreed.
And I thought overall a winning, good performance by Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, it's a super hard balance, right? We're always going to judge after the fact on how effective something was. Like if a scramble goes for 14 yards on a 3rd and 8, you go, that's good. Nice. We should do that. But could it have been a 40-yard touchdown? We don't know, right? It's always so hard, again, to work back kind of from the result. Or if he stays behind the line of scrimmage for too long and nobody breaks open and ends up being a sack, could you have just gotten the first down on a 3rd and 5? I mean, there's so much nuance to this position. And everything that you do, there's always something that could have been better or a throw that you missed or something, because it's so imperfect and it's so much harder maybe than it's ever been. But to me, I love what I saw, which was more about what looked like comfort. That's what I was trying to allude to initially when I talked about the panic in game 1. Again, panic's the wrong word, but I don't have another one. Where it's like, when in doubt, I gotta go. This was, I don't have any doubt. Like, I'm not shook. I'm not upset. I'm not worried about all the different hits in the second half.
Yes.
Right? I got popped a few times in the first half.
The first half was a continuation of Tampa.
Yeah.
The second half was not at all. Favorite throw for him? I have 3 that I wrote down. A lot of people are calling out the Noah Brown play, which was a beautiful throw. But I thought that was actually a lower difficulty throw because he was wide open. I have 2 maybe not noticeable throws that I thought were awesome.
There was a slant to McLaurin where I went, there's a millimeter in any direction. You can't fit it anywhere else, and that had to be there, and that was perfect.
That's one of them. It's a short throw, but it was terrific.
Yeah.
And he's so accurate. Jaden Daniels, his accuracy is awesome.
And there was one to Ertz where Ertz was being held. They declined the penalty because it was a catch for a first down. Where, again, not a ton of space, but he put it on the, I guess it would have been on Ertz's, you know, good side shoulder, where Ertz had to make a hands catch away from his body to keep it away from the defender to expose the holding.
A check down, like a 5-yard throw to Bates at one point, too.
Mm-hmm.
To John Bates. The other one was on an out route to Terry McLaurin in the first drive of the second half. It just perfectly timed. It was McLaurin's longest catch of the day. It was like 12 yards. If you remember, he kind of broke out, and the ball was hitting him as he got to the sideline, got a couple feet in, and they even tried to challenge, I think, if he had caught the ball or not.
Oh, the foot drag. Yeah,
it was bang,
you're right.
Bang. Yep. But I thought that was a perfect throw as well. So there was a lot to like, I thought, after halftime especially, but just generally from him throwing the football in this game. And the other thing is, you know, we got to decide, like, how are we grading this, right? I think if you're grading this from the perspective of he's a rookie, which we should, then it's really encouraging.
Yep.
Because the other rookies, Caleb Williams, Chicago, Bo Nix, what we've seen from him in Denver, that's the list. There are 3 of them. They have done nothing like what Jaden Daniels has done to this point. So I think if you want to incorporate that context, I think it helps you to view it through an even better lens. It's been solid. You know, if you gave him a C last week, I think you got to give him at least a B this week. And I thought it was an A performance in the second half for me.
Agreed.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.